Oxy fight to oust management and directors, Walker, Miller, and Ray Watson, another board member, finally concluded that they had to make some kind of peace with the annoying idiot nephew they had so long dismissed as ineffectual. They agreed that Roy could return as a board member of Disney and bring with him two allies, Gold and Roy's brother-in-law, Peter Daly. Roy would be granted the title of vice chairman of the board. Now Roy and his allies would have three of the board's 11 seats. Not a majority, certainly, but enough, they thought, to make a difference. Gold subsequently met with Miller to discuss finding a position for Roy at the studio, as well as a top job for Frank Wells.
"Ron, you've got to get some help," Gold said.
"I'm attempting to," Miller said. He had again called Eisner and said he was trying to resurrect the deal where Eisner would join Disney as COO. This time, Eisner was promising to bring Katzenberg with him, too.
"I've been having conversations with Michael Eisner, and we're very close to making a deal."
"Do it," Gold said.
But the next day, Gold called him back.
"Ron, don't sign Michael yet. Just hold off on that."
Miller assumed Gold was trying to delay so he could keep maneuvering on behalf of Wells. Miller called Eisner the same day.
"They're trying to push Frank down my throat," Miller told him.
"Who needs a Frank Wells?" Eisner replied. But time was running out for Miller. With other corporate raiders accumulating Disney shares and a takeover threat still looming, Gold argued forcefully that the best takeover defense was new management. Miller didn't help matters by separating from Diane over an affair with another woman. It was hardly an endorsement of Disney's much-vaunted family values, and although Miller and Diane subsequently reconciled, it cost Miller the support of Lillian, his mother-in-law, and the Walt side of the family at a critical juncture. When Walker finally retired as chairman, the title went not to Miller, but to Ray Watson, a real estate developer who had advised Walt on Disney World and who had little experience in the movie business. On August 17th, the board named a committee of outside directors to review the company's current management. Seemingly oblivious to the fact that he would be the target of the committee's scrutiny, Miller endorsed the idea. After the meeting ended, it fell to outside director Philip Hawley, chairman of the Los Angeles department store chain Carter Hawley Hale, and a personal friend of both Ron's and Diane's, to break the news to Miller that it was an all but foregone conclusion that the committee would be asking for his resignation. Miller was stunned. He left the room, then returned with Ray Watson, whom he considered an ally. Miller asked if what Hawley had said was true. Neither Watson nor Hawley said anything. Then Miller broke down and cried.
"What should I do?" he asked once he'd collected himself.
"I think you ought to get a lawyer to protect your interests," Watson said, "because you're too good-hearted a guy, Ron." After returning from Vermont and the phone conversation with Roy Disney, Eisner met with Stanley Gold and Frank Wells at Gold's home in Beverly Hills on a Sunday evening. It was Wells who had suggested they approach Eisner about coming to Disney.
"Whatever else you do, get Michael Eisner," Wells had told Gold. "He ought to be running that company. He's hot. He's got a track record. You do everything to get him, and I'll help."
Gold said that what he had in mind was for both Wells and Eisner to join the company. Wells is the top business executive, Eisner the creative head of the company. Just how this would work wasn't clear.